둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way, you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, making that a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. All the usual spots like iTunes, Apple Podcast, and Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Noah Cyrus. We're going to be digging into her debut album, The Hardest Parts, talking about making an album of goodbyes, telling her story of addiction, mental health, and recovery, and duetting with her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus. And speaking of guests, Noah's also going to get into what it was like to write and sing with her musical hero, Def Cab for Cutie's Ben Gibbard, and LP as well. She wrote with LP, and how she was able to live out what she says her Legend of Zelda dreams with the album artwork. So let's get into this. We're talking The Hardest Parts. It's Kyle Meredith with Noah Cyrus.
Hi. It's been a very exciting start to our interview.
Very exciting. You've got your pup around, and he's already showing what he thinks of me.
So. Yeah. He threw up on the couch right as soon as you came on.
I won't take it personally. That's all right.
No, it wasn't anything personal at all. I mean, we were just saying, like, there was no warning. Like, mom, I'm going to throw up at all. He just, yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. And then I spilled... I'm actually not even gonna lie to you. These are some tear stains. There were tears before this interview.
Oh no.
I know. I have some tear stains. I'm just like a little anxious. I'm like a little homesick. I have another dog at home, and he was having a hard time this morning with something. So I've just been a little like stressed out, and like I'm like halfway into tour, and we have like a 7-day run, like just show after show, so a little worn down. So these are some tear stains on the sweater.
Well, that's probably not helpful on the subject at hand, because as we talk about this, what is really a beautiful record, and it's powerful, and it's in times intense record. You know, if you're already in this mindset, I'm probably not going to make it better by the questions I'm asking this time around.
That's Mookie cleaning the vomit.
Doing my best manager duties.
That's full service right there. That really is.
Glamorous job.
But seriously, this is such a beautiful record. So let me throw the compliments at you. I know the praise you've been getting is all around, but just to add me to that, because it really is incredible.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate that, really.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, here you are talking about being homesick, and maybe this falls into it, because when I heard this, the way I interpret it anyway, is it really does feel like an album of goodbyes, goodbyes to specific people, goodbyes to versions of yourself. I should just throw the broad question up. What did you want to say with this album?
Well, I think that was a really good way of putting it. It is kind of an album of goodbyes, but, you know, also really moving forward and into, you know, with Loretta's song, it really leads you into a more hopeful place, which is where I'm at in life. At this current moment, I'm extremely hopeful. Where in the beginning, you know, with this album, I feel like it's almost an autobiography, this album. You know, it's so, it's like the inner dialogue of my head. So I think really just, you know, telling my story of who I am and where I'm at and what I've been through. I think, you know, I've been an artist for 6-7 years now, and I've had a really close relationship with my fans, but I also felt like there was so many pieces that they didn't know about, and so much of my life that, you know, they didn't know about, and so much that I was kind of hiding in shamefulness, you know. And so to be able to tell my truth and be honest with my listeners and give myself, not only myself, the outlet for those emotions, but also my listeners.
Yeah, well, it's done in such a poetic way. I mean, right from the beginning, you drop a bomb with that opening line. You know, when I turned 20, I was overcome with the thought that I might not turn 21. Like, that's what we hear right away. Like, and that's heavy, and it's so beautiful at the same time. And emotions are complex. We are complex human beings. But how did you want that to set up the record? Because that says a lot in a little.
Yeah, it does. You know, the very first song we started on the record was Stand Still, like production-wise. Mike had heard that song whenever we met. I played it for him. I said, we just wrote this the other day. I think it has to be on the album. And we were like, let's start with this one, because it just seemed like the perfect beginning for the album. Because I knew a lot of the songs were touching on loss and in life, and also in relationships. And it touched a lot on my addiction and also my partner at the time's addiction. So I knew setting up with that line. Also, I wanted people who weren't gonna go and listen to the whole album in order, how I like planned. I assumed that they would maybe start with that first song, and that it would maybe grab some attention and want them to keep listening through the sequencing of that album, because it does tell a story and there's such a journey in that album. So I was hoping if you know, I wrote very linearly. I wrote from, you know, start, middle, end. I don't really work from the middle and like fill in. I it's hard for me. So I wanted the album to be perceived that way. I wanted it to have a start and a finish.
And you were talking about, you know, with the Loretta song being there at the end, but with the deluxe edition, with this new edition, we already get the version where, you know, you have another version of Stand Still then, and it's with your dad, and it's now a duet. How does that work as a reprise? I mean, does that give that song a chance to say something different when you have a second voice like that?
You know, I think my dad and I are just so similar. And we go through a lot of the same things. I feel like my dad, when I look at him, I see a mirror. And when he looks at me, I think he can see that mirror as well. So, you know, I think to go and talk about that together, you know, where my dad's not ever really spoken about, you know, I think where he's at mentally and you know, some of those struggles that I think, you know, a lot of people, now that the conversation's more of an open conversation to have, are struggling with. And also, you know, so many artists artists that I love and look up to that also I know, you know, struggle with depression or anxiety. So I think, you know, hearing that side from my dad, it's just a new perspective you know, that his fans are hearing from his mind. And I was really grateful to share such a, this saying in our family, stand still, stemmed down from my great grandfather, Eldon Lindsay, on my dad's side. So generationally speaking, it was really cool to have the two generations from my dad's side, me and him, singing of his dad and his grandfather. So it was a really cool dynamic for that song. But I think, you know, I don't think it gave it like a different, like, you know what I think about it is, like, sometimes when you have a second version, you have a different spin on it a little bit. Like, you know, the other person writes their verse and like it's from their perspective, but a lot of my dad and I's perspective is the same. So it was interesting because you would hear his, you hear his new second verse, and it's kind of new, but it's very similar to my original second verse, because what we've gone through in our lives were just so similar. Mine was touching on sobriety, and, you know, my dad's second verse, we stay a little bit more in the self-isolation and anxiety and depression and paranoia. That's something my dad and I really relate on.
Well, it is sort of, you know, a great encore on the album. I think that's the word I was looking for. You know, especially when you do get so much family stuff and wrapped up in Loretta's song and that beautiful, and just kind of wrap it up like that. It really is. I don't want to overuse the word, but it is powerful when those moments happen all throughout this.
Yeah, I think it's a very, like, I use the word sensitive. Like, I feel like there's a lot of sensitive topics on there, and heavy is a really good word. It is. It's a heavy, really sensitive album that I think you kind of, if you're not prepared, I think it's a bit jarring, those first words.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Noah Cyrus. You know, and one of the more fun things that I know you've talked about, and we share this in common, is that, not that I've ever been able to duet with him, but another one of the duets is with Ben Gibbard, who I do agree is one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Of all time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Death Cab is one of the great ones. What's your relationship? How did you get hooked up with Ben?
So I asked my manager, you know, we were talking about features for the album, and I didn't want to just add somebody because it would bring along streams listens. That wasn't like, that's not what this album is. And that's not like what I want for my music at all. And I you know, if I was going to have someone feature on this album, I would want it to be somebody who inspired me and someone who helped inspire this album that didn't even know that they inspired this album. And I'm just such a fan of Ben, and every project he touches turns to gold, whether, you know, it's a side project or a Death Cab or his own personal projects. Like, I think he's amazing. And I looked at Mookie, my manager, and I was like, do you know Ben Gibbard's manager? Like, do you think you would reach out to him and see if he would want to write with me or like do a song together? And so Mookie, you know, knew his manager, and they just started going back and forth a bit about getting a time where I could fly out to Seattle and us write together. And so I think I flew out the next week or two. And from the moment we met, you know, it was one of Ben's like first times doing a co-writing session. He was like, I don't really do this. I've never really done this. So like, you know, we were both just like, didn't know the other person's process at all, you know? And we started with another song that just myself is singing, and we got about halfway through it. And, you know, we were just getting to know each other the first couple of days, like write a little bit, hang out a little bit. I was so in awe to be next to him and witnessing him create and play guitar and write songs, something that, like, you know, you dream about doing with your idols or somebody that you look up to. This is really like a once in a lifetime thing. And so I was really just trying to soak that up and learn and witness his just creative genius. And he's so amazing. And so, yeah, no, then I think it was like we had like a last day and a half together, and I worked up the courage to ask him if he wanted to maybe write a duet together. And I was so nervous that he would say no. And I would just have to be like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. but no, he was so down and open to working on something together. And, you know, he brought out his guitar, and from the moment we sat down to start working on that song, the songwriting came quite seamlessly. And it was really just us firing back and forth, you know, on a couch together, line by line. And those are very rare moments in songwriting where you just, you know, write a song within those 20-30 minutes, right, that you start it. So it was a really, really cool experience, and something that you definitely like only get once. And so, no, Ben is amazing. We actually were both just playing ACL on the same day this last week, and we both weren't able to make each other's sets. And he's now playing the Greek, Death Cab's playing the Greek on Friday, and I'm gone. And I've never seen Death Cab live. Oh. I've never seen Ben play live ever. And that's such a, I would love to do that. So I'm really bummed that I'm missing out on his LA show too.
They create such a mood live. And I've said a lot of times, I mean, Transatlanticism is like one of the greatest albums of all time, and they've got plenty of those. So it's a great duet. And, you know, I could go down the list here because you worked with LP and Dan Wilson. I mean, two other songwriters that, you know, I respect so much. And when you're working on this type of music, I mean, when, you know, you have these moments, personal is sometimes overused, but I really think this is one of those records where it really does feel like personal, you know, to get to that emotional core with someone else. I mean, do you enjoy that process?
I do. I'm a people person. So I really like deep, real connections. And I'm not like that with everybody. Like, I don't just have multiple people that I feel I can connect on that level. So I think that's why I'm also like working with a lot of the same people as of recently. And I do, I love being open with people, and I love getting to that deeper conversation with people. And I like getting to know other people and what they've been through. And, you know, LP and I really relate on a lot of stuff with our relationships. And that lover, I just want a lover, it came really quickly too. And Nate Campany came in the studio with us and Tommy English, and he heard this dun, 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 on the piano when he was home. And I was like, man, that piano is so Dolly. It's so cool. It reminds me of Dolly. And I was like, we've got to get on that. So we just started writing, and that came so quickly too. And Tommy English and I had been working together since I was 16 years old. So to finally have songs out with him, and working with PJ Harding, we're writing partners. We have a side project together, and our relationship is like something I've just not found with any other human being on this planet. And he's just such a great friend to me. And I'm so grateful for him and our relationship and our writing relationship. And so it's really, this album's like made with so much love. There's a lot of like, yes, it's very heavy and sensitive, and it hurts a lot. It was kind of a painful process, but the love behind it, you know, is there. There's so much love
that comes through. It does. Yeah. I wanted to quickly ask about, you know, on the visual side of this, you have these pieces, and it shows up with the touring poster and the artwork and everything, but it's you in the white dress, and you have the knife in some of the photos. Does that work as well as a representation into the album? Do you see it that way?
I do. I also see that as me living out my Legend of Zelda dreams. No, I do. I literally, we're actually working on my like live show intro, and I was like, you guys need to walk on stage to like the legend, like to Zelda's Lullaby or Sheik's theme or something sick. So actually,
pretty awesome.
When putting together my album visual inspirations, I had a lot of Zelda on there. Like I made a Dropbox link, right, with mm-hmm. all my visual references. My other manager's over here going like, because mm-hmm. I send it to them, and everybody's like, "Do you have other references besides Zelda?" So
do you need other references?
Exactly. It was just different Zelda references from different games and outfits and everything. But I mean, I working with actual objects, I've been working with them on the visual side for this entire record and everything, you know, with I Burned LA Down in particular, after writing that song and producing it, when producing it, I really, what I saw in my head with Mike was me riding out of those flames away from the fire and the horse galloping. And so when we were producing that and having Chris Bond record his drums, Chris Bond's an incredible drummer. I'm such a huge fan. He's played with Ben Howard and a lot of the records of Ben's that are like my absolute favorite, both Mike and Chris Bond have been a part of. And so having Chris Bond play the drums on that, I Burned LA Down, I was so excited. So we, you know, the only thing we told him was to kind of get that gallop with the drums. And that's what kind of got that dun 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 dun, was me telling Mike, I want to give the listeners the vision of me riding away from this flames and fire with Constantine, the horse, that the white horse represents. I lost my horse, who was my best friend. When I was 16 years old, I rode horses every single day, except for Monday, because that was the day the barn was like closed and we would go and just hand walk the horses. And so I dedicated so much of my life to riding. And when I lost Constantine, I almost lost a lot of my courage for riding horses. I almost got like afraid because we were just such a team. So to bring that back into my music and honor him, you know, because he gave me a lot of my courage. And I feel like this album took a lot of courage and I really needed him in there. I've been incorporating the same gray horse. Her name is Moonstone, who plays my horse Constantine in my music videos. She's been a part of my music videos since I got so high I saw Jesus. I've been riding the same horse. Yeah. If you see the gray horse in my music videos, it's Moonstone.
What a great, beautifully hidden tribute, kind of all in there though. That's... I love it. And I got all of that just from a question about a dress too. And Zelda.
Yeah. That's... Sorry.
That's great.
I literally was saying yesterday, I hope when I do interviews, I answer people's question, because I just like always go on to something else, because one thing will make me think about another.
I mean, as a fan and an interviewer, that's exactly what I hope for. So,
okay, you know, great. the white dress, actually something really cool about that white dress in my album cover. It's actually Claire Farron, who is one half of Actual Objects. They're married, Rick and Claire Farron. That's her wedding dress made by Marine Serre. And I saw the photos of their wedding and I asked her, cause I knew that would be what I needed to wear in the album cover. I feel like this album is so transitional. I talk a lot about life going into death and that transition. I felt like that white outfit kind of gave this clean new slate and new body and new way of life. And this album was so transitional. So I thought that outfit and her beautiful dress was perfect.
It's an added depth that makes me love this all even more. It really does.
Yeah.
Noah, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. And seriously, congratulations on this album. And hearing you talk about it being transitional here at the end of the interview gets me even more excited, because that already says something about the direction that you're headed in, that you know where you're going on this. So I'm in for the ride.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm just excited, honestly, like for the first time to keep making music, you know, and create a second album now. Like that's all I can think about. So thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll be listening.
Thank you. Right. Kyle.
And my thanks to Noah Cyrus. The new album is called The Hardest Parts. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. New ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.